Driven by Briggs Auto Lane and BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Here we go!
Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner today on the show. At 5:10, we will get into why Bob Stoops retiring actually brings us to perhaps one of the biggest accomplishments of Bill Snyder's coaching career. We're going to talk with our Oklahoma Powercat Game Day reporter Todd Lisenby at 4:40 as well. Is there more to the Bob Stoops retiring than we know about, decision-wise? Was there something behind it that has not been out there yet? We'll ask him. He's got his finger on the pulse of everything, located in Oklahoma City. And coming up here in the open, we're sort of finding ourselves nostalgic and yearning for the old days with Bob Stoops retiring, and we will explain that. You can't be serious, as always, at 5:50. If you want to tweet us, the game KMAN is where you can do so. Also, JL Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, or Mitch the Fort is where you find us all on Twitter. 537-1350, 866-776-1350, the phone number, if you want to chime in on the conversation today.
We need to get more organized around here, man. I'm trying to look up statistics, and I can't find a media guide more recent than 2011.
Well,
I need more.
Because you're looking in the wrong place. Yeah, they're in the main office. They're the main sports office.
I peeked in there. I don't know where they're at.
We do not, if you listen to the rundown of the show today, have Jim Ross. That did not work out. Mitch, we got outbooked by SportsCenter.
We did, yeah.
Jim Ross was on SportsCenter today, and he declined to respond to us. I don't know how that works. SportsCenter gets Jim Ross, and we get no love and respect.
It's because they have Jonathan Coachman.
God.
That's why.
We talk about wrestling like three times a week. Way more than we should. At the risk of losing listeners, probably. Jim Ross, still no respect. No respect. Oh, well. Well, Bob Stoops is out. We talked plenty about it yesterday. It broke right before the show, but you know, there's one thing that really stands out to me about Lincoln Riley stepping in here, and I think as the days go on, the conversation will finally start to turn toward Lincoln Riley, because right now the focus has all been Bob Stoops, Bob Stoops, Bob Stoops. When a coaching legend like that steps down, that's much more the natural reaction to go that route. Right now Lincoln Riley's flying more under the radar. But the thing that really stands out to me about Lincoln Riley, he's now the face, co-face, I would say, the new guard, quote-unquote, in the Big 12, along with Tom Herman. But at 33 years old, being hired as an in-house assistant, one, it's something Oklahoma has done a lot in their history. It has worked well, worked poorly at times. They have hired from within quite a bit. They've had success doing it both ways. But typically, if you're going to hire from within and you're going to hire the assistant that's already been on staff, that's usually seen as the safe move. The lower risk, lower reward, not quite as high of a ceiling move. I feel just the opposite about Lincoln Riley and that hire, because it is a 33-year-old offensive whiz that just 3 years ago was the offensive coordinator at East Carolina. And now all of a sudden he's the head coach at Oklahoma, following in the footsteps of the all-time winningest coach there in Bob Stoops. He's arguably better than Barry Switzer and anybody that they have had in their history. I mean, to me, that just screams high risk, high reward, because if you listen to Oklahoma's everybody involved with the program and everybody involved with the school, they think that this guy is just a superstar in waiting. But putting a 33-year-old in charge is taking a giant risk here for Oklahoma. It just so much bucks the trend of what you would usually see from calling up the guy from the bullpen that's already in-house.
You're putting your chips all in on the idea that that the new way to go is to have a guy that can relate to players. I mean, and really what Oklahoma is saying here is like, look, we want a guy that the players are going to embrace. We do not want to go the style of having, you know, you could even throw Bill Snyder in as an example, a guy that kind of runs the program, but you don't see around as much, can't really relate to as much. We're talking about a guy that 10 years ago was probably attending, you know, big college parties and fraternity parties and has not had a whole lot of life experience, which is exactly what college students can relate to. So I think that that's part of the reason that it's a big risk, is because when they go asking him for advice or they have questions about anything else, he might not know what to tell him because he hasn't experienced it himself.
To be fair, I did read that part of what drew Oklahoma to him is, like, Joe Castiglione met him 10 years ago. It was exactly 10 years ago, and he was already an assistant with more responsibility than most have. So, I mean, it seems like he has been fast-tracked as a coach, but still, 33 is pretty darn young. Now, another caveat to this, Bob Stoops was 38 when he was hired by Oklahoma, so it's not a giant difference there, but, you know, he had been at Florida as the defensive coordinator, not just East Carolina, and then coming to Oklahoma. I mean, it seemed like Bob Stoops had more big-time experience, perhaps, than Lincoln Riley has. But, you know, think about the difference in how the Lincoln Riley hire is perceived in terms of risk-reward, hot up-and-coming guy, even though he was hired in-house, as opposed to what LSU did by hiring Ed Orgeron this offseason, who was in-house, the guy that took over for Les Miles, the interim coach there. They go ahead and make the move to bring Ed Orgeron on, and that is exactly what I was talking about with your typical in-house hire. Yeah, fairly boring. It seems like this is limiting the ceiling, especially to places as prestigious as LSU. It was a totally different story with that hire than here with Riley in Oklahoma.
I think that the reason that a lot of schools have a hard time doing that is because they're afraid they're not going to win the press conference if they do. But it seems like Lincoln Riley is kind of the exception to that rule, where he does win the press conference. He does get the fans rejuvenated and excited, because even if we make fun of him for it, there are a lot of Oklahoma fans that had grew tired of winning just 10 games a year. It had become, as you mentioned yesterday, a little bit stale. And so doing or going this route is viewed more as a risk, because it is a totally different style that we're going to see from Lincoln Riley. And I'm sure that his mannerisms on the sideline, how much he interacts with players, that's all going to be different. So it's going to be a very weird year in the Big 12 just watching this all happen.
You know, it is tough to say if he, quote-unquote, won the press conference, because the press conference was so much more about Bob Stoops,
right,
and it's such a unique situation. But certainly won the press conference more than Ed Orgeron did at LSU.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could say won the press conference more than Frank Martin did here at K-State when he was the in-house guy, moved up. That did not become a very well-received thing on a national or even local and regional level at the time. And Frank Martin was 41. He was 8 years older than Lincoln Riley when he got the bump up to head coach. So I think in that regard, too, it is much different than your usual in-house hire. Those are not hires that often win the press conference or just generate a lot of excitement.
And going back to the age topic, right now in college football entering this next season, 14 FBS teams will have a head coach under the age of 40. And Lincoln Riley, I mean, nobody really comes close. Lincoln Riley is the youngest, but five of those coaches are Power Five guys.
Well, and the Big 12 is exceptionally young right now. And that's really where we turn to the new guard in the conference really starting to take shape here. And once Bill Snyder calls it quits here at K-State, you'd think Wildcats are going to go younger, obviously, than Bill Snyder there, too. And you're going to really, really just have a complete, just a boatload of new faces across the conference that are going to really be leading this league right now. I mean, Tom Herman is 42. Lincoln Riley is 32. You also have Cliff Kingsbury, who is 37. Matt Campbell is under 40 at Iowa State. All these young guys, so young. And really, all those guys, we're talking about winning the press conference, they all seemingly won the press conference. I think you could say Kingsbury did when he was hired. Certainly Tom Herman has at Texas. Lincoln Riley, for the most part, seems to at Oklahoma. Matt Campbell at Iowa State, that was viewed as a great hire. It's just everything is shifting in a totally different direction right now in the conference.
And it's, you mentioned the nostalgia thing. It does really affect you a little bit, because you think back, and Bill Snyder is now the last member of what I refer to as the good old days in the Big 12, the Big 12 that I grew up watching week in and week out. And you were used to seeing the likes of Bob Stoops on the sideline, of course, but I'm talking about Mack Brown, Dan McCarney, Frank Solich, you know, some of these other guys, Gary Pinkle, another one that you have to throw in there. Everybody's gone, and they've all either retired or moved on, and now here we are left with the one who was oldest to begin with still being around in Bill Snyder.
It's all about the new hot young coaches, and this is one of the few times where I'm with you that I will sit here and say, well, I couldn't go through on each one of these individual hires and say, like, I disagree. I mean, for the most part, I do think on paper they make sense and they're good hires. But at the same time, I do yearn for the old school days of the Big 12. This is one of the few times I will take the get off my lawn time to take here, just going with my heart overhead. This has nothing to do with my actual head, but my heart misses Gary Pinkel. My heart misses R.C. Slocum. My heart misses, you know, Bill Snyder in his heyday in the Big 12. My heart misses Frank Sol, all that stuff. Bring it back. I mean, Gary Barnett, for
yep,
instance.
That's
even
a good one.
Even yeah. Rick Neuheisel when he was still there at, mm-hmm. at Colorado. Like, I do miss those days, and I miss the old guard of coaches.
Man.
I miss Bob Stoops already, man. It's been one day. I am going to miss him in the Big 12 conference. It's just, it's so new.
You just have me thinking about it now, but how about Mike Leach, Dennis Franchione?
Oh, Mike Leach. Oh,
Dennis Franchione at Texas A&M. Mm. I could go on for just the rest of the show talking about former Big 12 coaches.
Well, I'll tell you what it's turning into, man. It's turning into hashtag not my Big 12.
That's absolutely
not my
true.
Big 12. That's what's happening here. Putting these 33-year-olds in charge of everything. We'll talk with Todd Lisenby, our Oklahoma Powercat Game Day reporter at 4:40. See if he has any insight as to whether there's more behind this retirement from Bob Stoops than what he is revealing on the surface at 5:10. One of the greatest accomplishments of Bill Snyder is really on display here with Bob Stoops stepping down. Some time to reflect on that, and we'll get into it. 5:50, you can't be serious. When we come back, though, college hoop shocker today. You're listening to The Game.